Jesus is speaking to his disciples. It's very important you understand it's his disciples came to him and he sat down to teach them and he speaks to them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are all who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And then Matthew places this next statement following those Beatitudes. In verse 13 of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, you, plural, speaking to a group, the disciples, remember, you disciples are the salt of the earth. And then he adds, and if the salt has lost its effectiveness, it's a very difficult word to translate in the Greek. I'll go back to it in just a minute. But the idea is, if the salt has lost its effective property, how shall it be made salty again? It is therefore, it has power unto nothing. Literally, the Greek says, it therefore has power unto nothing useful, but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of man. Salt doesn't have another distinction. If it can't do what its properties are designed for it to do, it's worthless. That's the idea of the Greek word. The Greek word for if the salt has lost its savor or if it loses its effective potency is moronte. It's where we get the English word moron from. It actually means to be morose means to be flat or dull without any edge. Here's the idea. It's the inability to make any real difference. As a disciple, there is a real danger if your faith loses an ability to make any difference. I hope my faith makes a difference to my wife. I hope my faith makes a difference to my children. I hope my faith makes a difference to everyone in my life. If my faith loses the ability to actually make an impact and a difference, what's it good for? But to be thrown out and trampled under the feet of men. And isn't that what's true of a lot of Christianity today? Isn't it just being trampled by the people in the world? You know, salt is an amazing thing. Let me find some notes for you and talk about salt and how it relates to the body. You know, salt is an electrolyte, meaning it has the ability in a liquid form to conduct electricity. And this is important because our nerves, our heart, our lungs, our brain, our entire nervous system depends upon the blood being able to conduct an electric charge. And it is salt in liquid form that actually enables the body to conduct electricity. It's important. And salt also helps maintain fluid balance. My wife and I raised milk goats and a cow shortly, but goats were easier for us to handle. I had a few battles with the cow and lost. So the goats were a little bit easier to handle. Anna's milking a cow now. One of the things that we would do to get the cow to produce more milk is to provide salt. Salt would cause them to become thirsty. And the more they drank, the more milk they would produce. It's a quality. There's a relationship between salt and fluid and the body's ability to retain fluid. There was, in the 1930s, a man set out to try to discover what would happen. It was before a lot of the instruments that we have today. But he wanted to find out what would happen if the human body had no salt. So he conducted an experiment. He got four people to volunteer for this experiment. Four men. And to desalinate them, to get the salt out of them, he put heat lamps all around them and each one a technician. They would spend time in the heat lamps, causing them to sweat, and the technicians would dab with towels all the sweat off their body. And to make sure that they didn't get any more salt through the food that they were eating, they would boil all of their food 3 times over and test it, making sure there was no salt in it. You know what the first thing they lost was? What do you think the first thing they lost, these men lost, the first sign that things were deteriorating? They lost taste. They lost all ability to taste. I wonder how many of us have lost the ability to taste and see that God is good. Do you love the Scriptures? Do you love His presence? Is it a joy to serve the Lord? Or has joy been replaced by duty? Obligation. Knowing we're supposed to. I mean, we believe the Bible and we know we should read it. But come on. You can know what you're supposed to do and have no taste for it. No desire for it. No enjoyment of it. Is that an indication that the salt has lost its savor? You know, the other thing that they, of course, when you lose the ability to taste, it's just texture. The only thing that's really left is texture. And is that enough to make someone want to eat? That's like you have the form of the food there, but there's nothing special about it. So you know what the second thing they lost? Their appetite. They lost hunger altogether. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do you hunger after the Lord? You know, when I taste something really good, you know what? I had to leave. They had a big meal. Old Lick Sammy had a big meal out at Anna's place. And you know what? I had to leave before all the cakes those ladies were making them. I watched them make these cakes for about an hour. And I didn't get to taste it a single time. And not yet. I may try to go over and visit this afternoon to see if there's any left. But you know, when you taste something like tres leches or something, cheesecake, and it creates in you, right? A desire. A strong desire for more. Some of us have too much desire because we don't know how to say no. But without salt, they lost the ability to taste. They soon lost the ability to eat altogether. And then this began to happen. As I read, eventually the volunteers became too exhausted to eat. And as their sodium levels continued to drop, they could barely function due to fatigue. You know, there is a thing called spiritual fatigue. You know what it means? There's no energy to seek the Lord. There's no energy to serve. We're just supposed to serve the Lord with gladness. It's a joyful thing. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So if we have no energy, it could be that there is something missing in our faith. The salt has lost its savor, because serving the Lord and being a disciple is something we should love. Right? See, someone knows. Even the children know. You know, but speaking of children, the pastor does feel sometimes like setting the plate out there and say, come on now, eat your food, come on. Now, I didn't really have to deal with that in my children. I don't know if it was just the Martin genes or what, but my children is that's all, no more. They were very healthy. When we would go to someone's house, we would tell them, you don't eat, no, don't you embarrass us. But I know that some parents have this war with their children, and it's like, come on, you will eat your food. I hope that's not how God feels about you. I hope he has his word and his son and his Holy Spirit and the richness of fellowship with him, but you have so little interest that to you he's like the father who's just trying to force you to eat what you really don't like. That shows that something is deeply wrong with us. These men, and of course, without eating, you lose your strength. These men became fatigued. And then something else happened internally as they were taking blood samples. Their blood itself became very dark and sticky. It's a condition called hyponatremia. Without salt in the blood. Because without salt to regulate their cells in the body fluids that entered into the cell, their cells just swelled and began to clog. Well, when that started happening, they began to bloat. And they began to be feared. And this was about after 10 days. And after 10 days, they decided the men might be in danger. And they fed them food with salt. You know the first thing that came back to them? Taste. And quickly, their energy returned. Because the essential property was restored. There is an essential property in the life of a disciple. A vibrant faith, a real knowledge of God itself produces a hunger and thirst and an appetite to know Him and enjoy Him. It's not meant to be the life of what you should and your duty and your obligation. Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. It's not just something I'm supposed to know Him, is I want to know Him. And do you remember what Jesus followed up with this? Not only did He speak of salt to His disciples, but He said, you're the salt of the earth. But what else did He say? You are the, you remember? Light of the world. To the disciples. Disciples are supposed to be salt of the earth and light of the world. Now, what did He mean by that? He went on to say, a city set on a hill can't be hidden. Okay, you don't build a city on a hill if you're wanting to hide it from someplace. He said, neither do men light a lamp and stick it under a basket. No, when men light a lamp, they put it on a lampstand in order that it will give light to the house. And He says this, in the same way, you disciples, let your light so shine before men that they will see what? What does He say that they will see? Your good works. And when you're letting your light shine before men, they see your good works. And what do? When they see your good works, they glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, how do we put these two things together? Salt and light both have a purpose. And their purpose is to make a difference. Oh, what a pity to have a faith that makes no difference to someone else. That's a pity. What good is it for a man to say he has faith and has no works? You remember the question in James that follows that? What good is it for a man to have faith and have no works? Do you remember the question that follows in the book of James? Here's the question that follows in James. Can such faith save him? No. Not that type of faith. If your faith is not working, it can't even save you. If your faith does not work in your life to actually make a difference where someone else can recognize God through watching your life. Because that's what light does. Remember what it says about Jesus? It says that Jesus came to shine into our hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So light represents the ability to see, to make clear, to reveal God. And that's the call of a disciple. If you have faith, the purpose for you having faith is to reveal God.
Amen.
Do you have a faith that your wife can see? Can your husband see genuine faith? How about parents? You know, parents, if your faith does not even work for you, why would you want your children to have it? How could you expect them to even desire it? If we have, we say we have faith, we say we know the Lord, we say we're Christians, I pray that the quality of that faith we have is very evident in the people that we're around. Because if that faith loses the ability to make a significant difference in the lives of others, according to Jesus Himself, what is it good for? How many of us respect someone simply because they come to church and they sing songs and they may go to a Bible study? How many of us respect someone for doing that? Well, okay, we may have a little, right? But many of us, and especially people in the world who may be more blunt than we would be, if they see a person who's a churchgoer, if they see a person who claims to be a Christian, who has a bumper sticker on his car, or he has some kind of Christian symbol on his house, or he has a sign in his front yard, but the effect of that person's interaction with his neighbor or with his family is a bad effect, we don't respect that. This is why Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. The word there is kale. In the Greek it means it's noble, it's attractive. Abraham's wife Sarah in the Septuagint was described as being kale, beautiful, lovely, attractive. This is what our faith is supposed to be. Our walk with Christ, when we are being filled with the Spirit and it's genuine, here's what it looks like. The fruit of the Spirit is first of all what? What's the first fruit? Love. Second, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now you can imagine, if these things, these qualities are there in your faith, and people experience through you, they experience love, they see and witness a life of joy, they see a person living in peace, they see a home at peace. Look, you know, sometimes parents, and we have quite a few families with children here now, you wonder about what you're doing for the Lord. Let me give you what a powerful testimony will be. Have peace in your home. Just have peace. Be at peace with each other. Be at peace as a husband and wife. And be at peace as parents with your children. And have self-control. And have gentleness and kindness. And these things, when people see the evidence of the Holy Spirit producing these dynamic graces in your life, you know what they do? They notice something is making a difference in you. You don't have a salt that has lost its savor. You've got something real, genuine. And just, it, you don't even need to speak with your mouth. But here's what will usually happen. When people are witnessing and observing this kind of faith in operation in you, you know what they tend to do? They tend to ask you, what's your secret? How do you do that? How do you have so many kids and stay sane? You know? I mean, they'll ask that. Look, because we have God's Spirit. We have love. We receive our children as a gift from the Lord. They're not a drudgery. They're a treasure. And we enjoy them and we train them and we, as the Lord guides us, we guide them. Now, let me ask you something. The Lord desires as disciples for us to be an effective, dynamic witness. As disciples, we have the high calling of giving the world a glimpse of what our Heavenly Father is really like. They may not profess Christianity, they may never be in church, but through our lives, they should have an encounter with the grace of God and the Spirit of God everywhere we go. Paul put it this way, for we are to God the fragrant aroma of Christ. And some of you ladies pass by and I pick up on something. I'm not going to ask you what you put on, but I can tell without even asking you, you put something on. And some men, when they walk by and didn't put something on, you know also. Okay, there's the smell of life and there's also the smell of, well, the other thing, the smell. And we are this. But you see, even without necessarily being overt, without saying a word, the grace of Christ, the Spirit of God, when it's filling a disciple, and when Christ is at work in the life of a disciple, the people around that person know something is up. We have this treasure. This is it. And what if we don't? All right? What if we don't? Let me just ask you a question. How many of you keep something that no longer works at all? Y'all are crazy. We do have a disease in this country. What do they call that? Hoarding. Not talking about hoarding. But normally, if something functions a main purpose, you know, like for example, how many of you still have your can opener that hasn't opened a can in 25 years because its part fell off? He's Rudy. Yeah. Come on. Well, you know what I'm saying? If something doesn't work any longer, what do we do? And we're going to take an argument with God that if He has invested His Holy Spirit in someone and given them His grace and He gets nothing out of it, they don't represent Him accurately, they're not fruitful, they're not productive, He's just supposed to feel wonderful about them anyway. Oh, here is my son. God would have to lie to some of us to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's not going to lie. He is going to say to some people, depart from me, I never knew you. Jesus said, this is to my Father's glory that ye bear much fruit. Showing yourselves your disciple. You see, a disciple, what does bearing much fruit show? It shows that the Spirit of God is alive in you. It shows that you have the life of God flowing in you. That's what it shows. And you remember our Lord. This is our loving Lord. He said, I'm the vine. I've got all the power. No branch bears fruit of itself. None of us could do this on our own, could we? Not me, not the preacher, not Armando, not any of our deacons, not our Sunday school teachers. None of us could do this on our own. All the life and power are in Christ. But if we are abiding in Christ, we're a branch. If a branch is properly abiding in the vine, do you know what that branch does? It bears fruit. You know, not all branches bear fruit. How many of you ever grown tomatoes? Okay, quite a few grown tomatoes. A tomato is a vine. You know the difference between a branch and another shoot that kind of grows right in the middle? What do they call that thing if it grows right in the middle of the branch and the vine? You know what? There's something that here's the vine and here's a branch and there's something that'll start growing right in the middle. You know what they call that? They call it a sucker. A sucker shoot. And you know what a sucker shoot does? A sucker shoot sucks the life of the vine. It's just sucking the life of the vine. But you know what it's not doing? It's not bearing any fruit. And so a wise gardener does what? Come on. And is God not wise? Will He not remove a branch from the vine that is not bearing fruit in His wisdom? Do you think God is impressed just because we claim to be a disciple? No, do you realize claiming to be a disciple now means that you bear His name? You have a calling. You're claiming to have faith. You're claiming to know Him. You're saying you're a disciple of Christ. What if the effect of you claiming to be a disciple of Christ is a negative impact on others? Ouch. You expect God to feel the same about you as He does a faithful servant? No. That's an idiosyncrasy. God is concerned to be known. We've talked about this before. If I were to misrepresent someone you love dearly to you, I were to say things and misrepresent them to others and cause others to think something wrong about that person you love, wouldn't you take offense at that? Wouldn't it bother you? Because you see the effect that I'm having. I'm causing a bad testimony to come upon the person you love. It's no different with Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are the salt of the earth. We are. We are the light of the world. We're the ones who claim we know our Father. We're the ones who claim we know our Lord, His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian, you're claiming to have God's Spirit at work inside you.
Amen.
Well, it is that claim itself that lays a great responsibility upon us. I don't want it to be just about a responsibility. I just want to make it clear that Jesus, what He was telling these disciples who had come to Him, okay, you have a mission. Here's your calling. You have a high calling. As a believer, as a disciple, we have a high calling. And that calling from God is to be filled with His Holy Spirit. And to live in such a way, joyfully serving the Lord, walking in His Spirit, in a way that causes others to be attracted to our Lord. To be attracted to Him, to see the beauty in our relationship. You know, my children are still in need of coming to their own sound and solid faith. But here's what I'm confident of. I am confident that the life and the joy that I have in Christ is better than anything they can get from the world. We know a king. His name was Solomon. Remember him? who wrote the book Ecclesiastes. He just called himself the teacher in Ecclesiastes. Remember what he set out to do? He had this noble experiment. And in this noble experiment, he says, so I set out to know pleasure. Boy, and if you're a king, you get the best food, you get the prettiest girls, you get the finest things, you get the best furniture, you live in the best house, you get the best water. It's all the best. And what did he say after the end of this great experiment? He said, it's vanity. It's chasing after the wind. It led to meaninglessness. And that's what I'm confident of. Listen, if you're not going to serve the Lord, listen, go get the best drugs you can get. Drink all the booze you want to drink. Have all the women you want to drink. Because as soon as you get it all, you're going to find that it leaves you as empty as before you started. And maybe then you'll come back and realize you should serve the Lord, because in His presence there is fullness of joy.
Amen.
And Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. And you know, Jesus, I believe Jesus Christ had more joy than any other human being who ever walked the earth. And you know what the secret of His joy was? I do only what the Father tells me to do. That's it. It seems like when I am trying to do my own thing, it's like I'm missing. You know what a car and an engine, when the cylinder is dead and it's got this miss? That's what it feels like to me. When I lose track of that, the secret to the happy spiritual life is serving the Lord wholeheartedly, with all my heart and soul. Then there's joy. There's joy in it. It's so good to serve the Lord. And so that's what was on my heart this morning. To just ask us, listen, what if any of us here, what if we're in a state where maybe we've lost, we're in danger of seeing that salt become diluted to the point to where there's hardly any salt left? Jesus said, wherewith, if salt loses its savor, where will it be salty again? But you know what? There's good news for the believer. Because if you've lost spiritual effectiveness, you know what the simple answer? Humble yourself before the Lord. Draw near the Lord, and what will He do? He will draw near to you. Haven't we just witnessed this? How many of us have seen what has happened after 2 months of no rain out here? What do our yards just look dead? They look dead and dormant. And then what happens? God in His mercy sends rain. And what happens? Here it goes. That's God's Spirit. God can pour out His Spirit on us. And do you remember what Jesus said? It's so simple. Remember when He said, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you? Because everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And if you knock, the doors are open. And then remember when He said, you people are just evil, and you know how to give good gifts to your children. Tom, if your grandson asked for you for a fish, would you give him a snake? No. No, of course not. Sam, if Sam Jr. asked you for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? No. I mean, look, you guys know how to give good gifts to your children. And do you remember what He said next? How much more will not your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?
Amen.
Just ask for His Spirit. Amen. Ask to be renewed. Ask to be filled with the Spirit. Why? Not to have some kind of crazy experience where you can run around the sanctuary. If you do that, that's fine. I'll clap. You know, that's not what I'm at. But to be filled with hunger. To be filled with the taste and see that God is good. To be renewed to a spiritual vitality. To be renewed in a way that your spiritual life is effective. And it makes a difference in you. And it makes a difference in others. That's the reason to ask for the Holy Spirit. All right? Let's do that. Let's just do that together. Just ask with me. Just quiet your hearts, and I've said enough.